Welcome once again to Ecclesiastes 6. This is the B-side. We're continuing our B-side series in modern philosophy and what the Bible says about it. This is part 3, so you might want to check out the last two B-sides if you haven't yet. Either way, I'll give you a quick review of what we've covered so far. First was theism, the Christian version. God is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the point. He gives meaning, and we were created for His good pleasure. Next up, deism. God created everything, but now He is hands-off. God is not actively involved, so we must figure things out on our own. We find the point, and God is not the same today as He was yesterday. Now, the next logical step after deism is existentialism. The key word there is exist. Existentialism doesn't necessarily take a strong stance on God, sort of agnostic on that count. But in practical terms, if God won't help, then God doesn't care. So I don't care about God. And God is no longer the point. God may have been yesterday, but I am today. I exist. So I'll live for my pleasure and live for the material things that I know exist. Materialism and hedonism are closely linked. Live for stuff, live for pleasure. In the philosophy world, existentialism was big in the 1800s and 1900s. Kierkegaard, Sartre, and many others all had related views, with some significant variation in their ideas. But it's outside the halls of higher learning where we really see the impact. Movies, music, and just the general worldview of millions of Western peoples are all heavily impacted by it. It's just part of our way of thinking. Seize the day. Follow your heart. Live now. This stuff is particularly strong in American thought and in Hollywood. Most Americans believe in God to some extent. They just live for the here and now. And here in Ecclesiastes, you'll find that existentialist thinking all throughout. Enjoy life. Enjoy work. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. You exist now, but tomorrow isn't promised. And there is good logical sense to it. The big difference here is that Solomon still remembers God and remembers judgment. In chapter 11, he says, follow your heart, but remember judgment. And the rest of the Bible keeps us further in check, reminding us that what we see is not all there is, that the things seen are temporary, but the things unseen are eternal. So we walk by faith. That's existentialism, and the next logical step in our philosophical devolution is nihilism. It's similar to the word annihilate, as in destroy everything, and that sums up nihilism pretty well. Everything will be destroyed, and nothing ever had a point anyway. For you science fans, nihilism is sort of the second law of thermodynamics as a total summation of life. The nihilists let go of those silly roots of mythological gods, whether Greek or Christian or whatever, and focused entirely on this life. This is all there is. There is no God, and there is no point. All values and morals are baseless, and nothing can really be known. God never was, never is, and never will be. Pleasure is pointless, and I am pointless. Nihilism. It is a rather depressing philosophy. Friedrich Nietzsche is the most famous of the nihilists, with his famous proclamation that God is dead. Nihilist thinking still has strong impact in college classrooms, though most Americans can't really stomach that level of pessimism or atheism. Yet nihilism does still creep into popular culture and media. A series of unfortunate events is not just a clever title. It's the basic worldview about life and existence as exactly that. A series of unfortunate events. Bad stuff happens, you thought it would get better and have a point, you were wrong, and that's life. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is a very comedic view of life through a very nihilistic lens. Both are brilliantly written, but both center on the utter pointlessness of life and existence. Still, most of us just laugh it off. You can also find glimmers of nihilism here in Ecclesiastes. Everything is meaningless is the basic book summary, after all, and his continual focus on death as the common destiny of all mankind in chapters 3, 7, and 9, that borders on nihilism. In chapter 6, Solomon declares that a stillborn child is better off than a man who cannot enjoy his prosperity. It comes without meaning. It departs in darkness, and in darkness its name is shrouded. Rather dark, and Solomon's consistent reminders that you will die are nearly nihilistic. But Solomon starkly sets himself apart from the emptiness of nihilism when he adds another reminder. Yes, remember you will die, but also remember your Creator. Remember that both good days and bad days come from Him. So Solomon concludes in chapter 12, "Fear God and keep His commandments." That thinking is distinctly theistic. So what do we learn from all this? Well, for one, we see that there is some sensible and logical thinking behind both existentialism and nihilism. Solomon arrives at some of the same conclusions. That's important. I believe it's a mistake to toss out all modern philosophy outright. But we disagree in two key areas, the foundations and the conclusions, the beginning and the end. Foundationally, I believe in God. They don't. And although I see sound logic in their reasoning, I disagree with their conclusions because they're built on faulty foundations. That's the key. Don't just fall for good logic. Check the foundations. I might read a quote on life or politics and say, that makes good sense. But if the unspoken foundation is godless, I don't trust the conclusion. That goes for science, too. Bad assumptions plus good logic still equals bad conclusion. Back in human philosophy, where do you go from there? Nihilism is sort of a dead end of thought, punny as that may be. When you claim that all thought is pointless, why bother with the next thought? But seeing as how humans don't much like dead ends, we backtracked in two distinct directions, scientism and postmodernism. And we'll cover those on tomorrow's B-side. And I'll see you there.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.